This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, November 7, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Byron Center-based Faith Hospice is launching a new kind of grief counseling. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the story.
Leaders at Faith Hospice say all loss is hard, but death by suicide, miscarriage, murder, or other traumas can leave families feeling shame, regret, guilt, and isolation. A new program addresses that.
It's looking at other areas of loss where there just is not a lot of support. And that's how we kind of came up with the name Real Grief, because it's so real, yet unimaginable.
Director of Integrative Support Services Janet Jamin says the Real Grief program is different from Faith Hospice's traditional bereavement services, acknowledging the added challenges of sudden, sometimes violent loss.
A lot of these topics are just not addressed, not talked about. People are expected to just kind of ignore their feelings or buck up, you know, and keep going. It's not healthy and it's not good.
There is no charge for bereavement care. People can access the Real Grief program by contacting Faith Hospice.
It's hard. It's painful. People feel if they don't talk about it, they don't think about it, they can escape it. But the reality is that we will all have to deal with it at some point in time in our life.
I'm Dee Morrison.
The Cascade Township Board of Trustees voted to approve a proposed zoning ordinance and map that will replace its existing ordinance, but as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, not everyone is happy about the change.
The proposed zoning ordinance comes as Kent County's Cascade Township faces growing interest from developers. Key objectives of the proposal include establishing sustainability, preserving community character, maintaining quality of life, and protecting property values. But during Wednesday's Board of Trustees meeting, many residents, like commercial realtor Mark Ansara, spoke against the proposal, saying it dramatically limits development.
Huge infringement on property rights, my investors and myself included, may end up lowering property values.
But Planning Commission Chair Alan Rowland, who claims to have been intimately involved in reviewing the ordinance, called potential housing and commercial developers, quote, barbarians at the gate, end quote.
The barbarians are the people that want to develop and put seven-story apartment complexes in, that want to have low-income housing, that want to have hotels and banks and truck stops. And the Planning Commission has held the line and stopped that.
In the end, the board voted 4-3 to formally introduce the zoning ordinance. Trustees emphasized that the proposal remains flexible with room for changes before final adoption. I'm David Limbaugh.
Michigan SNAP recipients will get their full food assistance allotment for November after a federal court order. A federal judge in Rhode Island ordered the U.S. Department of Agriculture to fully fund SNAP benefits by Friday, November 7. The order ends a funding hold due to the government shutdown. In response, Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services announced it has directed its SNAP vendor to issue full benefits as soon as federal funding is received. The statement noted those who normally receive their benefits on the 3rd, 5th, or 7th of the month should receive their full amount within 48 hours of MDHHS receiving those funds. All other recipients will receive full payments on their normally scheduled date. A big announcement today from the governor's office, Michigan State Police, and the Department of Corrections about a new milestone for illegal guns being taken off the streets. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
A joint announcement today stating that more than 900 illegal guns have been taken off the streets as part of Operation Safe Neighborhoods. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, along with the directors of the Michigan State Police and Department of Corrections, made the announcement. Since the operation began, law enforcement officials have conducted more than 9,400 check-ins with felony offenders, leading to the 900-plus illegal guns being taken off the street. During sweeps, officers have also recovered illegal drugs and ammunition. In a news release, Governor Whitmer says, quote, "Thanks to the partnership between state and local police, we're making real progress to protect our communities and stop violence before it happens," end quote. Operation Safe Neighborhoods is a statewide crackdown on crime aimed at reducing gun violence by getting illegal guns off the street and guns out of the hands of people who cannot legally possess them due to prior criminal history. The governor adds, quote, "Every Michigander deserves to feel safe in their community." I'm Jennifer Moss.
Visitors to Grand Rapids John Ball Zoo have a new animal to check out. A snow leopard cub is now on view for the first time. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more on the zoo's conservation efforts.
Juniper is a 3-month-old snow leopard cub, born to parents Yuki and Milo. Zoo teams have been carefully monitoring her health, out of view of visitors, since her birth, July 28th. Juniper began exploring the outdoor portion of her habitat Tuesday, getting used to it and to being seen by guests. Officials say her debut is an important milestone for the snow leopard species survival plan. The animals are listed as vulnerable, with 600 snow leopards in zoos worldwide, 250 in the United States. The biggest threats to the endangered felines are poaching, mining that destroys their ecosystem, and domestic cattle encroaching on their mountain habitats. As part of their conservation efforts, John Ball Zoo partners with the Snow Leopard Trust, an international research and conservation program that operates in five key snow leopard range countries. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids nonprofit Seeds of Promise is redeveloping 13 vacant lots across the city's southeast side into homes for income-qualified buyers. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
These are homes that produce immediately generational wealth opportunities in our community, inspirational opportunities for families to have space to live comfortably.
Reginel Thomas is CEO of Seeds of Promise, which is constructing 14 for-sale affordable homes on 13 parcels.
For individuals who talk about economically developed houses, in other words, within price ranges, and we're talking from $159,000 to, I believe, $260,000 or so.
Grand Rapids Land Bank Authority, Grand Rapids Housing Commission, and ICCF Community Homes are selling the parcels for $3.8 million. Seeds of Promise is seeking brownfield tax increment financing reimbursements to fund the project, with construction slated to begin this winter and wrapping by the end of summer 2026. Thomas says listening to what residents want and finding partners who share the same vision, providing affordable community housing, is what fuels Seeds of Promise's success.
The core has been our focus on humanity, finding positive people and getting those people together to do the work that they do.
While the nonprofit has a long history of providing housing-related assistance for those in need, this will be the organization's first housing construction project. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. A state task force report released on Thursday says local courts rely too heavily on fines and fees to fund their operations. It says that creates problems with inequality and erodes faith that the justice system is fair. We have more from Rick Pluta.
These findings are an early step toward overhauling how local courts are funded in Michigan. The report says in some places, courts use the revenue to make ends meet. In others, local court surpluses are used to fund other government services. State Court Administrator Tom Boyd says the inequality undermines confidence in the judiciary and a fix is overdue.
We can have people who come to court because they will believe that it was about public safety, not a money grab.
The recommendations include putting all that revenue into one state-managed fund to be dispersed based on a formula approved by the legislature. I'm Rick Pluta.
The Lansing Planning Commission is delaying moving forward with zoning for a controversial data center. It's one of several data center projects sparking debate across the state. On Wednesday night, people packed into a conference room and out through the hallway to hear about rezoning a downtown parking lot to build the data center. It would take up about an acre of land between South Cedar and South Larch Streets, but some Lansing residents have different goals for that spot. James Blair was on the Lansing City Council in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. He says the city has been trying to develop the Capitol Loop for the past 35 years, and the data center doesn't fit that vision.
This piece of property was bought with the idea of having something spectacular at that corner as an entrance into downtown. This doesn't fit.
The Planning Commission will vote whether to approve the zoning project on December 2nd. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Predator Badlands is the blockbuster movie opening this weekend, along with a slate of biographical movies like Sarah's Oil, Nuremberg, and Christie, plus the drama Die My Love. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C break it all down.
So this is your first hunt. Come to the most dangerous planet in the universe.
Ah! And that's a clip from the trailer for Predator Badlands, which is directed by Dan Trachtenberg, and Patrick Eisen was the screenwriter, and they both co-wrote the story. And one of the actors, Elle Fanning, is in this film. And this is one of two movies, actually, that she's out with this year. There's a Norwegian film called Sentimental Value that won the grand prize at Cannes, and I'm hearing a lot of people talk about that as being one of the best movies of the year. So big year here for Elle Fanning, and she looks great in the trailer for Predator Badlands, which follows the 2022 film Prey, also directed by Dan Trachtenberg. So, Zach, what are you hearing? Did you see it? And if not, what are you hearing about this?
Yeah, I have seen it. And I also think that critics and audiences who also loved Prey are loving this one just as much. And, I feel like it is, if you love Predator movies, you're going to love this movie. You know, like if you liked Prey, you're going to like this. And it's kind of fun to jump into the world of, you know, the Predator and go sort of like with this, you know, Predator on his first hunt, right? Like you have to sort of earn your way into the clan and you have to, you know, choose the beast you want to slay, but then you have to come back and also survive and, you know, whatever, bring the head of that beast back home. And so, yeah, it's super fun. Just like, and the, sort of the companion of Elle Fanning on the way through the trip. It's a fun ride. And
she's not a human. She's a synthetic android, right?
She's a synthetic android. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of moments in this movie that, you know, probably tie to a bunch of other movies. And I do feel like this one sort of sets the groundwork, you know, coming out of Prey into this one. And then I think, you know, I feel like this sort of sets its way for hopefully, you know, maybe another movie here in a couple years. So,
and I haven't seen it yet, but one of my favorite online reviewers mentioned that there are elements paying tribute to the Japanese filmmaker Akira Kurosawa. So I'm very intrigued by whatever little cultural Easter eggs are in the movie.
And I can tell you this. I know that I probably missed like over half of the Easter eggs that are probably actually in that movie. Because I know that there's a few shots where I was like, that feels very intentional. And I assume that that's something that I just don't remember right now or know. It's probably full of Easter eggs.
Also, a movie that's very much anticipated, Die My Love, with Robert Pattinson. And particularly, we've got Jennifer Lawrence, who apparently has done a very virtuoso performance. It's directed by Lynn Ramsey. It's actually based off of a novel by Ariana Horwitz, who's an Argentinian writer writing in Spanish. So it's been translated and now as a novel, now translated to American Hollywood cinema. So I know that you were looking forward to this movie.
I'm super excited for this movie. And I feel like it's one of those ones, too, where the marketing has been fantastic in the way of, like, you don't really know what you're stepping into. And I think that's kind of just how I want to walk into this thing. You know, Jennifer Lawrence they are a married couple, and she's a writer, and they're out in the middle of sort of this little cabin, you know, up in, I think it's Montana, and she's writing her next project. But, I think it's a little bit of that, a little bit of new motherhood that just sort of like, there's a lot of things start stirring, I think, within her, but also within their relationship. And it just feels like you're going to buckle yourself in for an hour and 45 minutes and just go on a ride. And I couldn't be more excited to sit down and watch myself.
Also, there's a film called Sarah's Oil, which is based on a true story. It's based on a book called Searching for Sarah Rector, The Richest Black Girl in America. And this is about Tanya Bolden, who is a real life, or Sarah Rector is a the character. Tanya Bolden is the director. And actually, Cyrus Noriste is the director. And Tanya Bolden wrote the book Searching for Sarah Rector. And this is about a young girl who inherited land in 1900.
Yeah, and there's some oil on that land, and there's some people that want that oil on that land. And it's sort of her story of, you know, kind of how she got the land, but then also sort of, you know, navigating through the, you know, I call them goons that want to come and, you know, try and get a chunk of this land so that they can profit off of it. But yes, she was one of the first female, like, black millionaires in this country, and because of that. And yeah, it's a little bit of a faith-adjacent movie, if you will, too, coming from MGM. But yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, if you love, you know, sort of the true story stuff, and, you know, based upon true stories, it just feels like a good movie to go have and sit down and watch.
Also, this is a big week for, like, true stories, biographical films. There's also Nuremberg, which is directed by James Vanderbilt. It's based on the book The Nazi and the Psychiatrist. And Rami Malek plays the psychiatrist. The Nazi is Hermann Göring, who's played by Russell Crowe.
Yeah, and as far as I know, audiences have loved this movie so far. And yeah, it's the evaluation that the psychiatrist makes sort of ahead of the Nuremberg trials. And it's sort of this like psychological thriller, but again, based on the true events of the Nuremberg trials. So, you know, this one, probably not as light as Sarah's Oil, if you will. You know, definitely going to be a little heavier. And, you know, I think Russell Crowe, Rami Malek, I mean, you're talking about two incredible actors who are going to have probably two incredible performances in this movie. I don't think they took any of the material, you know, from based on true events lightly either. And so, it's just going to be, it'll be a good one as well.
And then also another biographical film, Christie, which is about the boxer Christie Martin. And this is directed by David Michaud, who is an Australian director whose two most notable films are a crime drama, Animal Kingdom from 2010, and The Rover, which is a dystopian science fiction movie from 2014.
Yeah, and it's starring Sydney Sweeney, which she's playing Christie Martin. And, you know, it's I've been calling this her Dwayne The Rock Johnson moment, where, you know, we just had Smashing Machine earlier this year, where it's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing a boxing movie, also trying to prove that, I think, that, you know, he can do more of a serious role. And I feel like that's sort of the same thing here for Sydney Sweeney. But yeah, Christie Martin was from West Virginia, a small little town, and made her way all the way into the ring. And she ended up marrying her at one point manager and then husband. And she went through a lot outside of the ring. And so this is that story. And she had a lot of success in the ring. And, you know, she's been put into some Hall of Fames as well. So, like a lot of based on true stories this weekend. But I don't think you can go wrong with any of them.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, November 7, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.